Welcome to the Bible study again this morning. I thank God for the people here today and on the internet, and I praise the Lord for somebody that's interested in knowing God's will and to listen, to hear. You know, God wants people to hear. He wants somebody to know. He wants everybody to know. The brother was speaking about prayers, and y'all could pray for my mother, and for my mother-in-law, and my wife, and anybody that's not feeling good or in the hospital with any disease, or that somehow the Lord would work the things out in a way that would give glory to Him. And He said He would, but shouldn't that, we ought to agree with that. We ought to be our will that work out, that come to pass. And I'm not talking about that they be healed. I'm talking about that the will of God be done in their lives. The Bible says all things work together for the good to them who are the called. It didn't say that you would be healed in the process. It said no matter what happened. I was listening to a preacher on TV the other night, and he said something that just really struck my heart as being very true. And you may drive home this evening, and you may get in a car accident, and you may die a horrible death. But you know what? The Bible says it's going to work out for your good. How do I know that? You're going to be asleep in the Lord. Okay, so you drive home, you get home, you make it home safe. Guess what? That's going to work out for your good too. Anything that happens, and of course, many of y'all, we don't understand those things that are going to happen, and certainly we. Well, the only thing we could do is have compassion and be sad when you're sad and joy when you joy. But nevertheless, God is going to work it out for your good no matter what it is. How do I know that? He said so. I wanted to go back there to where we were beginning at this morning, the first part. Back in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 5, and this is going to be the second part, and I don't know what to entitle it. Entitle it as, figure it out when you study out the verses, and call it doctrine, and call it understanding and knowing what it is that we have, how precious it is, and how dear it is, and what price God had to pay for us to have it. See, salvation is a free gift. But it wasn't free for God. It wasn't free for Jesus Christ. It cost the Father. It cost the Son. It was not free. It cost Paul too. Paul suffered dearly, agonizing, to get that gospel out. And the man that's sitting there agonizing in pain, in grief, it was given all the glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because guess what? It's His anyway. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess, saved or lost. You will give an account. You will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. You will give an account of your life, saved or lost. You will answer to God of those things which you've done in this body, whether they were good or bad, saved or lost. You will give an account. Better do it saved. Because if you do it lost, there's only one, you only have one chance, and that's the lake of fire. That's it. It's done. In 1 Corinthians 2, I want to start again in verse 5, or verse 4. 1 Corinthians 2, 4, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And by the way, that demonstration that was that he was speaking the truth. Now, I'm not talking about he was just preaching the Bible. He was preaching the truth. What am I talking about? Go, hang on to 1 Corinthians 2 and go to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 in verse 12. Ephesians 1:12. That we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also that after you believed you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And when he says the word of truth, Paul says rightly dividing the word of truth. Now that is not rightly dividing the Bible, although we could do that. Could we not? What's the two most common things we could divide? The Old Testament and the New Testament, right? Prophecy and mystery. Those are the easy things. Paul's not talking about that in 2 Timothy 2:15. Paul in 2 Timothy 2:15 is talking about rightly dividing the word of truth. What is the word of truth? Ephesians chapter 1. In whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. What is the word of truth? The gospel of your salvation. The gospel of your salvation. The salvation, the gospel that saved you. Well, was that the same gospel that saved the Jews? The gospel of the good news of your salvation. What is the good news of your salvation? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that would be Jews, who were calling Gentiles uncircumcision, that at that time you were without Christ. What time? At that time. Whenever that time was, that at that time you were without Christ. So at some time, somebody had some promises given to them who concerning the covenants and the promises and the oracles and all things were given to them. What advantage then hath the Jew? Much every way, chiefly because on and on. They were given something and they had advantage. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time that this was going on and this was God's will that this thing be done that way. Remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision. And what are we talking about here in verse 12 or 11? We're talking about Abraham and the circumcision that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. What? Genesis chapter 12, Abraham said, go to Genesis chapter 12. And you know, we've all heard this over and over, and I thought surely I'll come up to somebody and I'll be able to explain this to them and they'll just, boom, they'll get it. No. No. Don't be removed from the simplicity that's in the gospel. Don't forget Genesis chapter 12. Don't forget Ephesians chapter 1 and 2. Don't forget 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and 2. Don't forget John 3:16 for what it is. It is what it is. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, and they go,
Oh, I know that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know that. I'm. And they don't know what you're talking about. They think that it's them. He's talking about them. I'll bless them. You go bless the Jew. Well, that's to them. That's just same as Jesus Christ dying on the cross. It's all the same. It all works out right there. It's just all together. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into land that I will show thee. By the way, what are we talking about here? Land? Where is our inheritance? Is there land there? The things which are seen are temporal. The things which are not seen are eternal. Is land temporal? Is it got to be renewed? It's got to be changed. It's got to be purified. Anything up there need to be purified? Anything up there need to be changed? Is it right just the way it is? Maybe that's why we got to be changed and purified before we go there. Because corruption cannot inherit incorruption, right? 1 Corinthians 15. But this thing down here has got to be fixed. Why? There's something wrong with it. It's temporal. Otherwise, it wouldn't be burned with fire. It wouldn't be consumed. It wouldn't be judged. There wouldn't be disease. There wouldn't be death. Trees wouldn't die. Do trees die? Trees die, don't they? Grass fades. Flower withers. Things get contaminated. Pollution. This earth is corrupted. And I will make of thee, verse 2, a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee. He did say, I will bless them that will bless thee. So then somebody needs to be blessing Abraham and his seed, right? Somebody. I will bless them that bless thee. Now that would be anybody, right? Anybody that blessed Abraham, God will bless, right? And curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And in thee shall all the families of the earth, that would be everybody, right? So anybody that would bless Abraham, God will bless. I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. Whoa. What about that part? I don't hear about that part too much. Ever hear about anybody, God will curse you if you curse? Come on, would that message make it today? Was that grace? Is that God willing to save you no matter what? If you believe Jesus Christ died for your sins and you really trust that what He did on that cross was all that needed to be done, did God say He would save you? But what if you cursed His people? Could you be saved according to Genesis chapter 12? That ain't the same. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curses thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So we seem to be talking about something that was given to Abraham and his seed in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, or verse 12, that at that time you were without Christ. Why? You were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having what kind of hope?
No hope.
What does that mean? What is no hope? Is that zero? Is that none? Is that absolutely none? Maybe just a little. If you confess. If you repent. It didn't say having no hope. What did they need to do to get the promise of God? Blessed you, strangers from the covenants of promise. What promise? Genesis chapter 12. They were strangers from that promise. Why? Because they were idolatrous Gentiles. What kind of people are in this room, or in this world, except for just a wee little tiny bit of people? About the smallest people on the earth. Who would that be? Israel. And even then, how were you going to go bless the Jew? Well, if you could, that would mean that they would be risen. They would be, hang on there. Go to Isaiah. I'm sorry, not Isaiah, Zechariah. Zechariah. Zechariah 13, grab Zechariah 13, and go to Zechariah 8. Verse 22 and Zechariah 13:1. Now hang on to 1 Corinthians 2 because we, in Ephesians there, we're going to bounce back and forth. I may use too many verses, so write them down. Somebody said sometime that I use too many verses. Paul did say comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now that's a godly thing to do. Because you know what? There's a lot of different doctrines in this Bible that you need to learn. And I need to get down. I ain't got it all. Very little. I ain't lived long enough, I don't reckon. Zechariah chapter 13, verse 1. In that day, what day? I would challenge you to compare this with Acts 3, 18 and 19. It says, repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the time of the restitution of all things. Paul said the same thing in Romans 11, that blindness in part has happened to Israel, and blindness in part has happened. I'm messing it up. I don't know why I can't remember it. For I will not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, and so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies. Now, think about this for a minute. Were they enemies because they both believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God? What is that? That's the gospel of God. We went over that the first part. They weren't enemies. Paul and Peter had fellowship concerning the gospel of God. But now we're talking about the gospel of Christ, that Jesus Christ died for our sins. He says concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. God is not going to change his mind about who he's doing for what he's doing it for. Who he's doing it for, when he's going to do it. It's going to happen. Do I believe that Jesus Christ is going to come back to this earth and reign for 1,000 years with a royal priesthood of Israel, and the Gentiles are going to come to him and bless him and reign with him for 1,000 years because they blessed him? Yes. It's going to happen. It ain't happened yet, but it will. All right. Zechariah 13. What day? In that day. 13:1. In that day. the time when he comes back and turns away unto godliness from Jacob, the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus. That day, when he comes back, in Acts chapter 1, they seen him go from the Mount of Olives, right? That's where they were at. It was about so many days' journey from Jerusalem, and then they went back to Jerusalem after he left, right? Okay, so he left from right there. Where is he going to come back? Boom, same spot. He's going to cleave it from the east to west. There's going to be a crater there. It's going to be like a meteorite, man. Bam, that thing's going to hit the earth. You watch these science channels. They got these things on these meteors hitting the earth. I don't know, man. But if that happens, if that's what it's going to be like, you don't want to be around. It's not going to be a good, you know, like the pictures you see of Jesus carrying a lamb. You know, this blonde-haired, blue-eyed Jesus. You know, he's like a Norse Viking or something. I don't know. And he's carrying this lamb, and it's like everything is peace and wonderful. That's the wrong picture. That's not the picture I see when he returns. Picture I see is for his kindness to Israel. But this world, he is going to pour it out. Wrath. Hey, man, you can't kill that priesthood. They're eternal. Either the fire won't affect them. Destruction, they're spiritual beings after that point, guys. They're done. They've been sealed. They're good to go. In that day, there should be a fountain open to the body of Christ. There should be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Who inhabits Jerusalem? Jews? Not Gentiles. Right? Jews. Well, that's the capital, right? That'd be like Jew City. If you wanted to find a Jew, there'd be a Jew for sure in Jerusalem. And a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. And also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirits to pass out of the land, on and on and on. The Gentile way ain't going to be no more, folks. But guess what God is doing? Back here in Ephesians, don't need to go there right now, but here in Ephesians, he's saving idolaters in their present condition, just like they are. They don't have to stop. They're dead in it. Yeah, I mean, it'd be like that the day before, they were offering up blood sacrifices, and somebody who had trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior was so excited about it that they went to them people, and they said, hey, guess what? Jesus Christ died on the cross, the Son of God. I mean, this thing wasn't a secret. And said that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died on the cross for their sins, and if they would trust that, God would receive them just like they are. You know, Gentiles were always ready to receive word of God. And they heard that, and they were just excited, and, you know, they came to church the next Sunday. Man, they were fired up. But you know what they were probably still in, some of them? Idolatry. They were probably still doing. There are no such thing like that in the Old Testament. That God's going to go to idolaters and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope. I mean, they weren't blessing Israel. They weren't doing anything to help those people. So, go back up a little bit to Zechariah 8, just about three books back. And I want to start in verse 22. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. I'll bless them that bless you, and I'll curse them that curse you, and in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And you can better well believe that that program is going throughout the entire Bible until Paul. And what changed? Something Jesus Christ told Paul that had been kept secret. Stop there and go to Galatians. Galatians chapter 2. What was the first gospel that Peter and the 12 preached? Y'all know? What did they preach? The kingdom. The kingdom. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent of what? The king's there. You better change your mind about some things. Number one, I'm the king. Repent. Why? You need to change your mind about who you believe in. Don't trust your idolatry. Don't trust the rulers. Well, how could God save the world unless he saved his people first? If the program was according to Genesis chapter 12, I'll bless them that bless thee. If he has no people, who the Gentiles going to bless? He's got to save the people first. Then once he saves the people with the kingdom message, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and then the nation is saved, then that nation can go out and call the Gentile world. That's the program. The kingdom gospel and then the gospel of God. That would be what would be preached. So, in Galatians chapter 2, verse 6, but these who seem to be somewhat whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person. They who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. And by the way, the in conference right there was the 12 apostles and Paul. And they're having a conference about this circumcision thing in Acts chapter 15 about whether they need to be circumcised. He says, for they seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me, but contrarywise. Now what would that mean? Did they add anything to Paul? Did they teach Paul anything? Was Paul edified by something they said? But contrarywise, what does that mean? Just opposite. On the other hand, they were edified by something I said. Why? Because they didn't know it. If they had known it, they would have been declaring it to Paul. Right? But contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me. What would the gospel of the uncircumcision, what would gospel, who would that be to? Uncircumcision. Gentiles. Uncircumcised. Would a Jew have anything to do with an uncircumcised Gentile? Well, then how could the Gentile be saved? It had to be by the gospel of the uncircumcision. Look what he says. But contrarywise, I'm sorry I'm getting so excited, but I get excited about this stuff. But contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me as the gospel of the circumcision was the gospel of the circumcision committed unto Peter? Is the Bible true? It means what it says. and it says what it means, to who it says it, where it says it, as it says it. It's not confusing. It's just that you've been told something your entire life, and that has to be the way it is because that's what they said. And because they said that, then that has to be the way it is. But that's not what this is saying. He says, but contrarywise, when they saw the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. And this is the thing right here, man. This is the settles the deal. For he, who's that? Who is he? The Lord Jesus Christ. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision. Who was Peter an apostle to? The circumcision, Israel, the Jews, right? Does it say that? It does say that, that he was the, that he who wrought effectually, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision. Is that Gentile?
No.
Paul said there's neither circumcision, uncircumcision, bond, or free. We're all made one in Christ. Amen? For he that wrought effectually. What is that? Powerfully. Authority. He was given the apostleship, the office by the Lord Jesus Christ to do this thing. Effectually it worked in him to do this thing. Peter wasn't playing games with this thing. He was going out and he was preaching to these Jews Jesus Christ is the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead. Repent and be baptized. Repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and He shall send Jesus. That's that gospel of the circumcision that would go to the Jews who were the circumcision. The circumcision in the flesh made by hands that at that time. What time? That time. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. What same? The same effectual working of the office that was given them to who it was given. Look what he says. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same. Well, that would be for he that wrought effectually in Paul to the apostleship of the Gentiles. Amen? I mean, we smart people that can read English who go to school for years and years and years could surely understand that, because we kept it all in context and we studied it out and we realize that words really do mean what they say. But no, we got to get a religion to complicate things. But this is real simple. I mean, you don't have to be a scholar or an English major to understand this. This is simple. They say, well, where do you find that thing about Paul being the apostle of the Gentiles at? And where does it say that Peter is the apostle to the Jews? That's pretty clear to me. You say, well, it doesn't say that. Where do you put that in there? You're putting words in there. Really? Huh. But contrarywise, when they saw the gospel, they saw the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me. Did they see that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto Paul? Did they think it was theirs? Did Peter go out and preach, Jesus Christ died for your sins. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that He paid for your sins in full. And God will save you right now. You know what that would have done? That would have made no point for him to preach the gospel of the circumcision. Why? They would tell you, repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing. Not nothing about Jesus Christ dying for your sins and you can have the atonement right now. Whereby now we have also received the atonement, Romans 5. When did they get the atonement? At the fount. That's what the fount is. It's an atonement offering. Well, actually, the offering was made at the cross. The blood applied at the second coming. And then, so all Israel shall be saved. And when James, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, that would be Jesus Christ, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. Toward the Jews? Is that what it says? Was it mighty in Paul to the Jews? What was mighty toward the Jews? Peter's apostleship was mighty toward the Jews. Paul's apostleship was mighty toward the Gentiles. Effectual. The same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship that we should go to the heathen. Who's we? Paul and Barnabas and them groups. Them Gentile, they preach to Gentiles. They're Gentile preachers. They're not Gentiles, but they preach to Gentiles. When James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived, that means understood, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me, they went, oh, that's different. We see. We understand. That's not ours. That's different. We won't do that. We'll let you do that. And we'll let you go to them because we won't go to them because we're not supposed to be going to them. That's obviously what God called you to do, Paul. And when James, and they were led of the Holy Spirit, weren't they? The 12? Okay. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given to me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship that we should go to the heathen and they unto the circumcision. Well, they shook on it and agreed on it. He said, Jesus said to Peter, whatsoever thou bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Did he bind it? Whatever's loosed, whatever's bound. That's going to be the way it is. You know what? The Holy Ghost knew this thing was going to happen and just worked all out, didn't it? So what is the gospel? What is the good news? What is the gospel of our salvation? Ephesians. It is that Jesus Christ died for our sins. But that it would come to you. That somebody would come and tell you that Jesus Christ died for your sins is a mystery. You see, the gospel had been being preached before Paul wrote the book of Ephesians. That's evident. Romans and 1st and 2nd Corinthians and Galatians. And you can go through all those books and the gospel's being preached. But that it would come to these Gentiles and that they would hear it and believe that the offering would go out to them was a mystery. How do I know? Ephesians 3:1, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you word, that uncircumcision gospel preaching apostle he was, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy... Who revealed it to his holy apostles and prophets? Paul! Did Jesus Christ reveal it to the holy apostles and prophets? No! How did they find out about it? Paul! When he opened up his mouth, and all the principalities and Satan himself didn't even know this. Guess who got it first? Paul. So guess who else didn't know it before Paul opened his mouth about it? How about Peter, James, and John? How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of this promise in Christ by the gospel. How? What gospel? Gospel that Jesus Christ, the same gospel as 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, dropped off into hell. God raised him up again for your justification, proving your sin was paid. And you believe that and you trust that. And God promises he will save you. God that cannot lie promised in hope of eternal life. God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Promised. If you will believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins, God promised he will save you. How will you know that after you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, how would you know that you're saved? Well, he'll give you peace about it. Trust the Lord. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. I'm done.